champion of the world has arrived. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
Welcome to What the Nostalgia, the podcast where we go back and review movies from our formative years on up to our late teens. At the end of the podcast, we ask ourselves, were we looking at the content through rose-colored lens, or is it as nostalgic as before? I'm Jarrell.
And I'm Jamel.
And this is What the Nostalgia. Jamel, what we got?
All right, man. Today, we're going in a little different direction from what we reviewed so far. Be our first biopic. This is Ali, released December 25th, 2001. It was directed by Michael Mann. For the cast, we have Will Smith as Ali, Jamie Foxx as Drew Brown, John Boyett as Howard Cosell, and Mario Van Peebles as Malcolm X. For the box office numbers, they had a $107 million budget, but it only grossed $87 million worldwide on this one.
Okay. Yeah, so how long has it been since you last seen this film, man?
It's been a minute, man. It's been a while. I think I was like 11 years old when it had first came out. So I think it had been maybe a few years after that I had initially saw the film. But yeah, I've watched it again before that or after that, I mean. But it's been a little while for me. It's been a little while. How about yourself?
I don't know. I think this is another one of those films that I really hadn't seen since when it came out. I mean, I think I saw it on like DVD that same year in 2001 or whatever, but I can't really recall having watched this. It's one of those films that I just would have never came back to. There are some films that I just, you know, even if I feel it is good, I just will never come back to it. I'm only coming back to it because of the podcast.
It's like it's a good film, but you get your feel of it on that first watch. Like it's one of those type of films. It's what it is, basically. It is what it is. It's a great film. I mean, and we kind of hear about Muhammad Ali as well growing up, and you know things like that. So we know about him as a man, as a boxer, and he's mentioned throughout history, you know, so I feel like that's probably another reason why, because I didn't, even though I've seen it maybe like two or three times, but, you know, I feel like it's a reason for that. Like, I kind of know about the man, him as a man and as a boxer, you know, outside of the film itself, so.
Okay. Sure, yeah, you already putting your stamp of approval on it. I won't say whether or not it's good or not yet. You know, I'll let it build till the end. But right now, hey, let's just go ahead and delve into it, man. Let's see some of the things that we thought about it.
Let's do it.
21 years later, man. Let's see if it's still. And this is the thing. I just want to say this right out the gate. Whether it's, you know, even if it is an important figure, I'm still willing to say that something is bad if it turns out to be bad. So, you know, but I'm not leaning either way. I'm being honest. I'll just let you know, Jamel. Like, yeah, I'll just let you know. Like, I'm willing to, hey, if it's a terrible film, I'm gonna be like, yeah, you know. Like you know, let's say we was doing Passion of the Christ or something like that. And I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, that's not Jesus, but still, if that was right, Jesus, right. I'd be like, you know, hey, Jesus, the person who was playing Jesus wasn't doing a good job acting.
Right, right. That film has a lot you critique.
Yeah. That was a wild example, but I just went there. Anyhow, yeah, let's get into it though, man.
Yeah, man. So for me, man, what I noticed at first, it felt like a drawn out opener for me, man. I'm not gonna lie. Like I looked at the clock and it was like 10 minutes for the opening, but it just felt kind of drawn out. That whole opening you know, Sam Cooke was singing. It was kind of flashing just a little bit through his early life and also flashing to his training regimen as well. But what I noticed, it, to me, I was like, I kind of felt a little, something a little left out, man. Like, I noticed they didn't really put a lot of his, you know, they didn't focus really at all on his early childhood life and his upbringing, you know. And to for me, I just feel like when you have important figures like Muhammad Ali, to me, I mean, for me, speaking for myself, I kind of want to see where they came from and what turned them into who they became. You know, they showed a little flash of it, but I was just kind of surprised at how they didn't really delve too much into his younger life like that in the beginning.
Okay, I ain't too upset with you if you needed to see that. For me, I was fine. I mean, number one, this is a long movie, first off. Let me go ahead and put that out there. Like you said, there are some stuff that is drawn out there, even more so than the opening to me. There were other scenes I was like, okay, y'all could have kind of cut this a little short. But yeah, I didn't think that they needed to focus in on that because I never really heard anything too remarkable about his youth. But if there's anything that they did show, they just showed that he was growing up in that Jim Crow era. You know, they show him on the bus, and they show with some guy with a newspaper with the Emmett Till picture, you know, the infamous picture. So they letting you know what era he grew up in. And that's all I really needed to see for me to understand, you know, the background where he came from. I don't need any more. That's it. What did you feel? Let me ask you, what did you feel like you wanted to see? Like him stealing a candy bar from the local grocery store or?
Nah. It's just, to me, it's just interesting. Like almost every like iconic figure, like it's interesting to see their early life, and I feel like I could be speaking off a whim here. I don't, because I can't really say off the top of my head, but I do feel like most biopics do kind of highlight the person's childhood and how they grew up, you know. And for the simple fact that we never hear really about Muhammad Ali's childhood, I feel like that's even more reason to highlight it or put it in the film, you know.
No,
but
hell no. You focus in on what's most important, where the story is. The story is in his boxing career. Now, again, if you wanted to, for you to say most biopics focus on, I don't know if I can agree with that.
I'm not saying they focus on it, but I'm saying I feel like they definitely incorporate it in the film, you know.
I feel like you should incorporate it if it's of importance. His main story was his boxing career, his life as an adult. If nothing, if you like everybody's childhood story isn't important, isn't interesting, like. And again, this is already a long movie. They had to focus. The whole basis of this story, bro, is basically his rise, his fall, and his redemption back to the top. That's all we needed. We didn't need again.
I get that, but I mean, like, again, back to my point though, like, even superheroes, you look at Batman, Superman, they show their childhood and like how they became who they became. Muhammad Ali's of the world, the Martin Luther King's, the Malcolm X, those are our superheroes. What? So I would want to see like his childhood and how he came up. That's all.
Yeah, if he had a superhero upbringing, then I could agree with you.
I'm relating.
I know what you're trying to say, and I'm relating with you. I'm not making a snarky comment. I'm saying if he had a Batman level situation where his parents got killed or something like that, then okay, I can understand what you're saying. Like oh, we need to delve in on that. Like, I believe
so, okay, so
I believe they did the same for Malcolm X.
So So you basically saying he probably didn't have an interesting or anything crazy happen in his upbringing to highlight it. That's basically what you're saying.
That's my thought process. That there was nothing. Sometimes people just live a normal childhood and then become great.
That might be the case. For me, that's just something I'm interested in seeing. Like if he did have that, but maybe you're right. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't have that growing up.
You know what I think?
Yeah, that was just my preference.
Yeah, I think it would have been like the argument we was having on the Truman Show. When that Truman Show episode where you was talking about, we were talking about how it would have been to have been watching his life in those early years. That's how I feel like it would have been. I feel like there was probably nothing there. And it was like, all right, let's skip past that. Because they didn't, they just start straight from, this movie starts from him gaining the world champion, the belt.
Yeah, at the Sonny Liston fight.
So yeah, maybe he didn't have an interesting team.
But my thing is, he won the belt at like 22 years old. So you don't become that great in just a couple years. So I feel like, at least in his teenage years, he had to be getting into something, like, to become the man that beat Sonny Liston at 22 years old, you know. But maybe not, though. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, but the movie is already 2 hours and 30 minutes long.
It's like 2 hours 45 minutes.
How longer do you want it to be? They had to focus on what the meat and potatoes of the film is.
Well, like we kind of said in the beginning, man, certain things were dragged out. So I feel like they could have sacrificed some things to delve into, maybe if he had something in his childhood to delve into that, you know.
Okay.
But they know best, you know. Who am I? moving forward. They get into mainly focused on the fights throughout this film, his rivalries. Joe Frazier and George Foreman being the two biggest ones for the most part, but also Sonny Liston, as we spoke about. It opens up with him pretty much trash talking and getting prepped up and ready for the fight against Sonny Liston. And we got to talk about some of the cheating scandals, man, throughout this film. One which I didn't know about, which with the George Foreman fight. Apparently, and this, I looked a little bit more into it. This actually was, George Foreman made this claim, but it wasn't until 2007 when he released his book. And he basically said that he claimed that he was drugged before the fight to Ali. And he said his trainer before the fight slipped him a bottle of water that he said tasted like medicine. And he said he almost spit the water out. And he told his trainer, he was like, man, it tastes like some medicine in the bottle. And his trainer was like, no, it's just water, you know. So that was something that I guess he held on to, and it finally came out when he released his book in 2007. And I guess he still, to this day, you know, he still kind of holds on to that, you know, and holds on to that claim. But as well as the film doesn't show that, but it does show the whole Sonny Liston, you know, kind of putting something on his gloves to kind of damage, mess up Ali's eyesight, you know. So I thought that was kind of interesting, man.
Yeah, I never heard of the of that scandal dealing with George Foreman, or dealing with those claims, I should say. I mean, I guess you would feel, you know, some type of way if you did think that you were drugged. And he probably felt like, man, I could have beat this guy. I don't know. I guess he's saying that, like, the effects carried over into the fight, I'm sure.
Yeah, he was saying that basically he felt like it made him weaker because, you know, he was like a power puncher. Like, that was his style. He was basically saying he felt like it made him weaker, and that's kind of how he was feeling as the fight went on.
I'm sorry. this is gonna be bad to say, but I'm about to buy a set. No excuses. Like, you either win or you lose. Okay.
Play this. So you saying even if that really, see, I don't think it happened.
That's
I'm
right.
just saying if that did happen, you saying like
even if it happened,
still, it still should have won. Like, it's no excuses at all.
If you the champ, I feel like you should be able to box through getting drugged. I do. I feel like your skills should have came through, and you should have been able to. I mean, hey, we can go back to the beginning of the film, which we still at, honestly. The fact that Muhammad Ali, I guess allegedly, I don't know if it's alleged or not. I was trying to look that up, whether or not it was really true. But yeah, I guess he had got whatever that stuff was, the little make you not be able to see juice that he poured on his gloves and put in Muhammad Ali's eyes, allegedly. And Muhammad Ali came through out of that, so no excuses. He literally wasn't able to see, I guess. Man, no excuses.
Yeah.
And you win, and that's right then and there. That's not a day later. That's right there at the moment. You come out of that.
This was the same. Like, right before they head out to the ring, like, he drunk some water. It was like the same day, like right before the fight.
Oh, I thought you said it was the day before. Okay, so yeah, it happened. I no excuses. Muhammad Ali won with no eyesight. He came back and gave a whooping to Sonny Liston. So no excuses. But speaking on that. Hold on, let me get into that for a second, because I just want to speak on if, like, this is a bad cheater if he really did that, if that was the case. Because I did go to, like, look up a clip, and the people who were calling the actual fight, I think they were actually saying something about it. They was like, yeah, they think he put something on his gloves. I was like, yo, y'all reporting on this in real time, like, in the middle of the fight? I was like, that's crazy. I was like, but secondly, if that was the case, you are a terrible cheater, because you able to do that to him and not beat him. But secondly, I was like, just do it again. I was like, put some more of that juice on your glove and do it again. You was whooping him up. Like, there's no way he could deal with it. I don't think he could take that punishment just more and more. Like,
yeah.
You saw you was getting the best of them. Like, do it, cheat again if you gonna be a cheater.
It was like the effects wore off too fast or something. Like, he didn't expect it to wear off as fast as it did.
Oh, he thought he had to the end of the fight, and he got surprised when he came back out in the next round and started wailing on him.
Right, right.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy too, because according to reports, they say, like, the only fighter that Muhammad Ali, I guess, not feared, because he didn't really fear anybody, but I guess was, like, the scariest that he boxed, he said was Sonny Liston, you know, out of all the people he fought. Now, I don't know if that was because, you know, that was his first title shot, or if he was just really that imposing, because, in my opinion, it would have either been Joe Frazier or George Foreman. I mean, there were basically a lot of people that thought George Foreman was going to kill Muhammad Ali in that fight. Like, that's how powerful he was. And I guess, like, the age difference as well. But yeah, he said, like, the scariest fighter he ever fought was Sonny Liston. So for Sonny Liston to have to cheat like that, that's, I don't know, it kind of takes away from that aura of him being scary like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think because of our age, you know, we only know of certain boxers that we actually seen in real life, you know, such as a Mike Tyson or something like that. So we view that as, like, the epitome of menacing, which he is. But you know, I did hear stuff, like, back in the day that a George Foreman and a Sonny Liston were of that same cloth. Like, they had that. They were Mike Tyson before Mike Tyson.
Like, yeah.
You know, you're truly afraid and thinking that they were going to get killed. Yeah. That is, you know, that's quite a fear when people are talking like that. Like, they think that you actually going to get killed in the ring.
Right, right.
That's heavy.
For real, man. Yeah, man. Moving a little forward, man. in this movie as well, you have other figures that's within this movie, and the main one being Malcolm X, which, you know, him and Muhammad Ali had a great friendship. I mean, it was great, then it wasn't great. It was turbulent, you know, but we can't deny, like, I guess, like the influence that Malcolm X had on Muhammad Ali in many ways. And I feel like he kind of helped him in his success, like as far as like, I feel like he kind of put things within him that kind of helped him become the champion that he was, you know, in many ways, not just in the boxing ring, but outside of the boxing ring as well. So I thought it was kind of cool that they, you know, they had Malcolm X along with, you know, within this story as well.
Yeah. So, hey, that brings up the most important question, man, of the entire film. Of the entire podcast, I mean. Who played Malcolm X better? Mario Van Peebles or Denzel Washington?
No, why are you
even? Nah, I'm playing, man. I ain't going that way.
I was about to say, it's no way. Nah. Now, what I will say, though, Mario Van Peebles looks more like him to me. Like, he's a closer resemblance to him. But I don't think, you know, it's Denzel, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, hey, I'm playing, man. I'll never disrespect Denzel's performance in Malcolm X. But it's just something that I was thinking about the whole time. And then my mind started really going crazy. I was like, man, what if they just said, yo, like, let's go into those worlds. Let's have a shared universe. Let's go get Denzel and have him play this with Will Smith. Remember, hey. What, haven't people been like wanting a movie with Will Smith and Denzel together? Like, that would have been
I've heard of that. I've definitely heard of that. Yeah, yeah. Hey, nah, you're right, though.
That would have been the perfect time, but nah, it wouldn't have worked. Denzel wouldn't even have played a role like that. I don't think he would have played second fiddle like that.
Yeah, that would have been too much acting power in that film, man.
yeah, it would have went, you know, it would have completely. Hey, he might have upstaged Will Smith. I don't know. It might have been. But that goes into another point, though, that I wanted to hit on. Because this thing really, the first 55 minutes of this movie really is like the Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X show, pretty much.
Yeah,
Like, it's pretty much just focusing on their friendship. I kind of was like, oh, wow, they really dealing with this for quite some time. Until, right, you know, of course, right up until his death, when he got killed. And, right. Yeah, man, it's kind of crazy. I got to bring up something, though, man. Kind of like a 6 degrees of separation type situation going on right now, man. I just find it interesting sometimes where stuff does cross over. I was just mentioning Denzel playing, you know, the Malcolm X on this. But you know that guy, his name is, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I think it's like Giancarlo Esposito. You'll know him as Gus Fring.
Nah,
you know him. He Gus Fring from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite actors, I feel. One of my favorite people. I got to speak on it when I see one of my favorite people in movies. You know, he did his thing in, you know, Do the Right Thing. Like I said, he did his thing.
Yeah.
He did his thing in Breaking Bad. But he's in this movie as, I was almost about to say Cassius Clay, but Muhammad Ali's pops. But in the Malcolm X movie, he's one of the people that shoot Malcolm X. He's one of those guys, and I just was like, again, it's just a little 6 degrees of separation, man. Like, hey, they could have brought him. They could have brought Denzel. They could have brought Denzel over if they was gonna bring him over. I'm just saying,
man, that would have been dope, but I think it probably was a budget problem.
Yeah, probably
would have been a big budget problem.
Probably, but yeah, that's how the, like I said, the first almost hour of the movie goes. It's dealing with his relationship with Malcolm, and apparently, I guess it may have gotten strained a little bit in the politics of the Nation of Islam or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
So
right. Yeah. They. I kind of looked into it a little bit, and they were saying like Muhammad Ali was still like, even after his death, was kind of cold towards Malcolm X. Like even after his death, like whenever he was asked about him and stuff like that. Like I think it was a quote. This is kind of paraphrasing, but he was kind of asked about him after he died, and Muhammad Ali kind of said something along the lines of Malcolm X has no friends or no good people or something like that. But they said eventually he came around and his true feelings came out as far as like how he really felt about him, you know, what he meant to him, you know. So yeah, that's definitely an interesting relationship though.
Yeah, that was a little wild. I mean, shoot, Malcolm the way they did. They could have gave Martin Luther King a little love. You know who played Martin Luther King?
Nah, I didn't. Was it old boy from
LeVar Burton? LeVar Burton.
Yeah, I thought it looked like him, man. But that was kind of, it's like they only showed him just to get assassinated.
I think they flashed to him like early on in the fight against Sonny Liston. I think they flashed to him in the crowd. But but the thing is, you may not know who that is. like they expected you to just be like, oh, that's Martin. But it can kind of like blow by you like, oh, I thought you were just on some random brother in the crowd.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was wild.
I don't know. LeVar Burton said, hey, this is the only time I'm going to get to play Martin Luther King. I'm taking it.
Gotta take that. Yeah.
Even if I don't have no speaking lines and I don't even get to say I have a dream. How do you pitch that to somebody? You're going to play Martin Luther King, but we're not even going to show you get shot. We're not going to show your acting skills at all. We're not even going to show you get shot. You just going to lie dead on the ground.
Exactly.
How do you even pitch that to somebody to take that? But, hey, that's Hollywood, I guess.
Yeah, he just heard the name, man, and he said he got to take that opportunity.
Talking about bingo, I got action. Martin Luther King, I know when he read the script, though, he was surprised. Like, what the hell?
Just a blank sheet.
pretty much.
Oh man. But yeah, man. So yeah, that their relationship definitely was interesting, man. And like we said, it's pretty cool that they touched on that throughout the film. But I think probably to me, the second most important, you know, part of this film is kind of highlight Muhammad Ali, you know, basically refusing to go fight in the Vietnam War. And it's a whole lot we could say about this man, you know, because you know, in today's time, man, you know, we got the whole, you know, Kyrie kind of standing up for, you know, not taking the jab and stuff like that, and they say like LeBron is a pretty big, you know, activist and stuff like that. But to me, you Kaepernick. Can't even compare. Yeah, Kaepernick as well. But to me, you still can't even compare. You know, the athletes today and the things they do versus the people like Muhammad Ali, what he stood for and what he did, what he sacrificed, as well as, you know, it's kind of meta, but we were recording this on the day that Bill Russell passed away. You know, rest in peace to the great Bill Russell, the sacrifice he made back in the day as an athlete, you know, and it's good that they highlighted that within this film, man, because how many athletes, you know, would truly, you know, of course, you know, Kyrie kind of took a step out that he lost some, you know, some playing time. But, I mean, Muhammad Ali, as champion, sacrificed his prime, like his peak years. He missed out on like 3 years, man, you know, to stand up for what he believed in, you know. And it's not too many people that would do that, you know. And that's why, to me, it's almost like he's more of an icon for a lot of things he did outside of the ring versus what he did in the ring. And they, I mean, lost his boxing license and stuff like that. Man, it's it's really, to me, it's really amazing that in that time, the height he was at, and you know what he stood for, it's incredible that he even survived, you know, through that time. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed that portion of the film, them highlighting all that.
Yeah, yeah, you're right about that, man. I mean, he definitely made a heavy sacrifice, like you said, at the peak of his prime. I mean, that was a bold move. Now I'm gonna go back to something you said earlier when you was talking about showing his childhood. Now, if there was anything that could have been done, they could have maybe did something where, just on some movie magic stuff, just on some embellishing the story a little bit, because they do this with these films, I'm sorry to say. Sometimes they do it a little bit. Everything doesn't quite always add up. You know what I'm saying? When you really look back. They could have did something in his childhood, if you want to see that, where he stood up for something. Where, you know what I mean? Like, he stood up for some type of, I don't know, he stood up in some major way even as a child, and then that thing kind of comes back.
Or
you know, maybe even on the other end of it, like there was some injustice that happened when he was a child and he went along with it, and you know, and it's like he almost like a redeeming type situation for him when he refused to go into the war.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now I feel like you could have did that if you wanted to go back to his childhood. But but yeah, like you said, man, he definitely made that sacrifice. I didn't know all the details, how long he had to go to prison. But yeah, they did him dirty, man. And he basically, you know, I mean, from what the movie is showing, it's like he you know, things went downhill for him. Like, and he might have even, I think he was even financially, you know, strapped at that time.
Yeah. One thing I didn't know, though, I'm not even going to front to you and to the audience right now. I thought he actually did some jail time, but apparently, you know, they said he would have got 5 years in jail, but he never served a day in jail. He just basically was suspended 3 years from boxing, you know, and lost his boxing license. So I'm not gonna lie, I never knew that. I thought he did a little bit of jail time for that.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty bad on my end as well, because I mean, I knew that he didn't do like a lot of time, but I did think he at least got like 3 months or three to six months in prison.
Right.
I didn't know he didn't do a day neither. Well, that's even greater.
Like I said, that was a
hell of a move for him. But of course, you know, that came with a price, because I'm sure, you know, especially at that time, you know, America, you know, and even to this day, you got some people you'll see still talk about him in a disrespectful manner. Oh, he's nothing but a draft dodger. You know, hey, man, damn your draft, man. Hey, just, he said it straight up, you know. You know, just for the sake of podcast, you know, when he said, "Ain't no Viet Cong ever called me the N-word." That was a strong. The first time I heard that back in the day, I was like, "Damn!" I was like,
yeah.
"Yep." I was like, "Yep." What you got to say? I mean, in that time, like I said, that Jim Crow time, coming fresh off Jim Crow, still in Jim Crow, like. Well, he said, you won't even stand up and fight for me at home. And you want me to go over there and fight for you? Like, hey, that was...
He made him. That's a valid point.
That was strong.
Valid point. For real.
That was strong, and I don't blame him one bit.
But that was definitely important to see, man. It's definitely important for them to highlight, you know, those years of his life. Now, getting into the two rivalries, man, there's something I didn't know about Ali and Frazier, right? Like, from the outside looking in and hearing about this great rivalry over the years, you know, how great it was, I thought they just absolutely despised each other from the beginning, but apparently they showed it in the film, and I actually went back and looked it up to see if it was true. You remember that? You remember the scene in the film where this was after he got suspended? Joe Frazier picked Muhammad Ali up in his car, you know, and they were talking as if they were friends, you know, and Muhammad Ali was talking to him like, man, I need you to get this fight set up between me and you, you know, to get me back in the ring. So in real life, they were really friends. Like, they said Joe Frazier loaned Ali money while he was suspended, when he was struggling. And he also supported this, like, Joe Frazier supported his stance against the war, and he wanted him to be reinstated. And now they say some of it was for selfish reasons, because Joe Frazier knew if he wanted to be called the best, he would have to beat Muhammad Ali. So he kind of, he had his own selfish reasons in there as well, but he did truly care about Ali and what he stood for as well. But their relationship went sour when, you know, he was reinstated. And of course, Muhammad Ali being Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier didn't like a lot of the stuff he was saying within his trash talk. So they kind of put a rift between their relationship after that. So that's when the real, like, tension and, you know, what made that rivalry what it was, you know, came into play at that point. So I thought that was pretty interesting, man.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how their relationship was, but I know there were some rocky things, you know, in what Muhammad Ali would say to him. Like, I was watching a clip of them. They were doing some interview together, I think, with Howard Cosell. And I don't know, they were talking, and at some point, Muhammad Ali wound up calling him Uncle Tom. I think, or maybe he didn't call him Uncle Tom. I think he called somebody else Uncle Tom. But he basically, though, did infer that about Joe Frazier as well. And they kind of, like, got into it. Yeah, they kind of, like, got into it or whatever. Oh, yeah, maybe he did call him.
That would make sense as to why Frazier would have been so mad, though. Like, if behind the scenes he stood up, he was, like, supporting them and loaned them money to get them through in those times, and then once the rivalry starts, because it's almost like, I mean, I feel like, I guess it's always been like this, but you want to talk stuff up and sell tickets, you know, right? Like, you want to make it as sellable as possible. So, not to say, because Ali just, he was that type of man that when he said something, he meant it, I feel like. So it's kind of hard to decipher if he meant that stuff about Joe Frazier or if he was just trying to sell tickets. Because like I said, Joe Frazier was there for him basically at his lowest point of his entire career, you know? So I can understand if Joe Frazier, I guess, kind of got upset with him and it caused a rift after that.
Yeah, but again, I don't have all the details. I don't really know, like I said, what might have went down and everything, but I just know they did have, you know, some contentious moments. I think there's something later on in life where I believe Joe Frazier said something to the effect of, like, the Parkinson that Muhammad Ali had, you know, it's kind of like payback for all of the stuff that he said. It's like karma or something for all of the things, for all the talking that Muhammad Ali said or did. Because he kind of said, you know, obviously, you know, Muhammad Ali was a talker, but, you know, it may have rubbed some people the wrong way depending on who was on what side of the talking.
Right.
I don't know. That was kind of a, you know, powerful statement, though, if he really said that about him.
Yeah, that's wild, man. But yeah, that was something. Some things I just didn't know. I thought they always had beef, like, from the beginning. Like, I never knew that they was actually close, you know, before the whole rivalry started. But and then of course we spoke on it briefly in the beginning, the whole Ali Foreman rivalry as well. You know, I kind of brought up the whole, you know, Foreman's accusations of being drugged. before the fight. But really, you know, how most people saw it and how, I mean, it did go this way, is the fact that the whole rope-a-dope tactic was introduced during that fight, which, you know, Foreman thought he was getting tired off of some other kind of dope, but Muhammad Ali tired him out doing the rope-a-dope, you know, so, okay. which was a smart tactic for him to do. You know, George Foreman was a bigger boxer, more powerful, and literally, like we said from the beginning, people thought he was going to kill Ali in the ring. Like, Ali, I think it was like a 4-1 odds underdog in that fight, you know. And another thing that was interesting to me, I think they said Ali made like $5 million in that fight. But they said in today's time, for boxers, that would have been $26 million in today's time. So that just shows you, and that was a big payday back then. So that just shows you the difference in today's time versus back then, you know, on what they made and stuff like that. But yeah, man, you know, a lot of people say that fight there and that rivalry, that's really when Muhammad Ali became the greatest, you know, after beating George Foreman. So,
yeah.
But just to kind of bring it back just a little, just off the last point, just imagine though, bro, if he didn't miss those 3 years, like some people say now Floyd is the best boxer ever, 50-0 or whatever. But I feel like if he wouldn't have missed those 3 years, bro, it wouldn't even been a debate. Like, how much did he miss out on? You know what I mean? So that was definitely a big sacrifice for him to do that.
Yeah, that's a good amount of time to be gone away. But in the end, hey, you know, everything still worked out for him. At least, sure. You know, in the frame of this movie. Again, it was about the rise, and that's why they focused just really on those three fights and everything. It was the rise when he beat Sonny Liston, when nobody expected him to, and like I said, the fall, literally, you know, from even falling out of boxing almost, you know, they tried to strip the crown from him. You know, Frazier, he beats him. Even though I think they fought like two more times. Yeah, I think they fought three times, and I believe Ali won twice. But they didn't focus on that. You could tell what they was trying to do. They was trying to focus on the rise, fall, and the rise again. So they just deal with the loss that he had to Frazier. And then they deal with, you know, the final boss battle of him and Foreman. When again, everybody thought they was gonna he was gonna get killed in there. So that was a good framework for the film. And I'm hitting again on when you was talking about you wanted to see him as a child. No, they had to cut that off the same way they cut off. Do you know about Muhammad Ali's, like, the end of his career? How that went?
Yeah, it ended pretty bad.
Pretty, yeah, you know, do you want to add? Did you also want to see that part in the movie?
Definitely not. I don't think it would have been a need to show that. I mean, yeah. I mean, I know about that whole, you know, how it ended, and you know, it ended bad for him. But you know, you never want to see, I guess, your heroes, like. Because in real life, that was sad to see, right? Just like with Tyson, like how he lost to Buster Douglas. It's like, you don't want to see that from people that you grow up admiring and drawing inspiration from. So, yeah, it's kind of a good idea they left it out.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I felt like the time frame that they put this movie in was perfect. And they stuck to the game plan of what they was going to do. So I feel fine with it. One thing we neglected to mention throughout this whole film is the romances that he had. This is another part of these biopics is you got to deal with the human side of the person. You know, everybody just, it wasn't just a perfect model of, you know, righteousness or anything. Like, you had your faults and everything, and I believe he, you know, he might have had some issues with some infidelity and everything, dealing with some of the women. So that was one thing. So I guess you know, I believe he had kids with multiple women. And
I think he kind of even says it in the movie though, like himself, like he was basically saying how women was his weakness, you know. So he kind of highlighted that within himself, you know, in the film.
Yeah. So.
Yep. But yeah, man. This was a great film to me, man. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Before we even got into the review, it I had a note basically saying how it left a little to be desired. But you know, we kind of already spoke about it, the whole childhood thing. And to me, honestly, I don't know if it's because it's been so long since I've seen it, but it really didn't feel like it was almost 3 hours to me. I don't know how you felt, but to me, it kind of flew by, you know, which I guess can speak to how good a movie is to you. So for me, it was kind of a quick watch, which is kind of surprising with it, like we said, almost being 3 hours. But I got to go back on that statement. I'm not going to lie. You kind of changed my mind on the whole childhood stance. So yeah, with that being said, for me, we're getting into the ratings, man. I'm going to give it 4 stars, man. 4 rewinds for me.
Okay. That's what's up, man. Yeah. As far as this film goes, man, it was a pretty decent biopic, man. You know, I liked it. I'm going 3.75 again. It's not the greatest thing. Again, like you said, it did leave something to be desired. I had to take it to a 3.75 due to, you know how I feel. I gotta still put this in that realm of choreographed sports. I don't like it. And I know this is a biopic, but that part, there's just part of me that hates choreographed sports, man. And that will always take a movie down. That will always take a movie down a notch for me. And I was like, all right, it is what it is. But 3.75 is not bad, though. I mean, you know, out of 5,
yeah,
come
solid.
On. 3.75 rewinds
that's
for me.
That's
solid. What else was I going to say? I want to talk about the acting a little bit, man. I felt like it was pretty decent acting. I want to talk about some of the portrayals in this movie. You know, like I said, I don't know how up you are on the like real life characters of these people, but let me see. Obviously, you know the fighters, but let me see. Like his assistant trainer, Bundini. We didn't talk about Jamie Foxx, man. We completely left Jamie Foxx out.
Oh, that's true.
We completely left Jamie Foxx out of here. Like, I was going to ask you, you know, what your favorite actor was in the movie. I had to take Jamie Foxx, man. I felt like he did that character. And even before I rewatch this, I didn't even know Bundini, like, in real life neither. I didn't even see no footage, but I did watch some clips just to get a little something. Even if I hadn't watched it, though, Jamie Foxx still would have been the best actor to me. At that moment, I mean, Will Smith does his thing as Ali, but I like Jamie Foxx's acting, man. But at one point, it got a little funny because it's almost like they started. I wish I would have pulled a clip for it, but there's like 2 different scenes that I could have pulled where I'm like, "Yo, Jamie Foxx and Will Smith both almost got out of their character and went back to like their show." Like Jamie Foxx was acting a little bit like a character from the show, Jamie Foxx, and Will Smith was like Fresh Prince at some point. I was like, yo, that's kind of crazy.
But yeah, man, I
thought there was some good portrayals. I thought it was some good portrayals. I don't know if you know, I mean, the actor John Voight, he played Cosell, Howard Cosell. I don't know if you up on him, but that's like, I think that's Angela Jolie's father. He did his thing. I didn't even know that was John Voight, you know.
Yeah, me either. I mean, I looked up the cast, but it doesn't look like him in the actual film. Like, they did a good job with the makeup, or you know, how they did him up in the film.
Yeah, he did a good portrayal, and like I said, I felt like Jamie Foxx did his thing.
And now for me, I'm gonna say mine real quick. It's the basic answer, but I gotta go with Will Smith because I don't really know too much about his trainers, man, like that. But I do feel like if I looked up Jamie Foxx's character in real life, I might have to switch to him because, I mean, Jamie Foxx, he's a great actor as well, you know, so. But from what I know, I got to go with Will Smith.
Hey, fair enough. So you said you had a,
yep.
you rated this a 4?
Yeah, I gave it 4.
So this is something that you don't mind coming back to, like you don't mind throwing back on.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. To be honest, I probably won't watch it unless it's, you know, it pops up on TV or something like that. But I wouldn't mind seeing it again. That says a lot for an almost 3-hour movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you. Like I said, it's a 3.7 for me, but it's probably gonna be like a. If I'm still here, it's gonna be like another 10 years maybe before I rewatch this movie. But it's not bad. It's not bad. I just don't care to watch it again for a while.
Nah, I feel you on that.
But yeah, man, that's all.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for this one, man. I think next week, man, we're gonna, you know, been trying to switch it up here and there. I don't even know. This is kind of. I guess drama thriller movie we're gonna be bringing to you guys next week. Gonna be getting into Fight Club, the movie that you're not supposed to talk about, but we're definitely gonna talk about it.
All right, that's what's up, man. Sure, yeah. Hey, we thank y'all for listening, and we're gonna leave y'all with the trailer for 1999 Fight Club. Thank you. Peace.
Peace.
You to hit me as hard as you can.
Why? How much can you know about yourself? You've never been in a fight.
Wait, let me start earlier. Like many of you, I was stuck.
You want me to deprioritize my current reports until you advise of a status upgrade?
Make these your primary action items.
I couldn't sleep.
No, you can't die from insomnia.
I'd flip through catalogs and wonder what kind of dining set defines me as a person. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time. Welcome! I prayed for a different life.
Soap. I make and I sell soap. And
this is how I met Tyler Durden.
Come on, hit me before I lose my nerve.
Okay. Ow! You hit me in the ear!
It was on the tip of everyone's tongue.
Can I be next?
We just gave it a name.
Gentlemen, welcome to Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club is...
Wow, nice.
You do not talk about Fight Club.
Is that your blood?
Some of it, yeah. After Fight Club, we all started seeing things differently.
You're gonna have to keep me up all night.
And she ruined everything.
You're not into her, are you?
No, God, not at all.
All been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't.
He had a plan. To what purpose? In Tyler, we trusted.
I gotta take Fight Club up a notch. Each one of you has a homework assignment. You're gonna start a fight with a total stranger.
That's not necessary.
And you're gonna lose.
That hurt.
You were looking for a way to change your life. You got it.
I'm stopping this.
It's already done, so shut up.
What kind of sick game are you playing?
Oh my God.
Where's my mind?
You kids.
Where is my mind?
This is too much!
In the end, you will
anyone, who would you fight?
Shatner. I'd fight William Shatner.